Good morning, and thank you for joining us in this time of worship. I greet you this morning in Jesus' name, the one who is here with us this morning and also with you where you are. I hope all is well with you, and especially during this time of worship distancing. We talk about social distancing. This morning we are observing worship distancing, but I trust that you are feeling a strong connection with God. And one of the things that burdens my heart is it appears to maybe be a bit harder to draw nigh to God when we have this social distancing. But I trust this morning that you are feeling a strong connection with God and feeling worship in your heart. I would like to read one of Jesus' parables this morning. It's in Luke 12. And I'm going to read the verses here in Luke 12. I know we're very much aware of the dilemma that we find ourselves in. It continues to amaze us, amazes me, as how the world came to a screeching halt because of a disease. And we tend to think we're bigger than that. But a big event in history has transpired right before our eyes, and now we're faced with the question of now what? Our hearts go out to those who are affected, and in a sense we all are, but we think especially of those who are affected by the death, the suffering, the financial setbacks, the unemployment, the struggles, the worry, the stress. And again, to a greater or lesser degree, we're all faced with this. But the question that's facing our world, it's facing our government, it's facing our nation, it's facing our churches, and it even faces us as families and as individuals, is the question of what's next. And I'd like to title the message this morning, Preparing for What's Next. Let's read the verses here from Luke 12. I'm going to start at verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, obviously this is Jesus speaking, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then, being able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth what ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We're going to stop reading there at this time. And as I said prior, our government has shut down the nation. They're faced with the question of what happens next. Ideally, they want to open the country back up because we know the country cannot stay shut down. But they're faced with the question, what's next? And we are concerned about this as well. We support our civil leaders with our prayers as they work through this question of what's next, and especially as they try to do the best of their ability to prepare for what's next. However, none of us are closely responsible for the broader subject of what's next, especially as we think of the nation and the community. We're very concerned about that, but really, we don't have a lot in it. However, this morning, I would like for us to challenge our hearts and our minds and think about very carefully and prayerfully and consider the question in a very personal way and spiritual way, what's next? And with that question is preparing for what's next. Do you think about what's next for you? Are you preparing about what's next? All of us face what's next situations. You know, regardless of where we're at in life, and maybe we don't think about this as much as we should, but whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we're sick or healthy, we face these situations of what's next, and we wonder about these what next situation. And many of you are going through that right now. I had to think of our school children and our school teachers. You faced a very mixed up year, and you're still probably struggling with the thing of what's next. Some of you are planning to graduate this year. What's next? How's this going to work? Young parents, do you think about what's next with raising a family? Our youth, I believe you face a lot of what's next situations. What are you doing about it? Are you preparing for what's next in your life? Grandparents, are you thinking about what's next? You know, we tend to think and we like to think that life will continue as it is, and we like to think that tomorrow will be like today. But we have been made keenly aware that we do not control life. We cannot control life. We face life situations, personal situations, many situations that, again, make us realize that life does not continue as it is. And maybe you're wondering about your job, your business. Many people are unemployed. Will there be money? How will this work? How can we prepare for what's next? And I would like for us to consider that as we look at this passage here in Luke 12. We have here a man, and he's called, Jesus calls him the rich man. God called him, thou fool. And whoever he was, we'll probably refer to him as the rich man. He thought he was preparing for what's next. But this man made a few serious mistakes. And you know, we've probably all seen people and we wondered, why are they doing that? Don't they know what's going to happen? You know, right now we have 50 states and they're all looking at each other and they're watching each other and they're trying to figure out, you know, why this one's doing this and why that one's doing that. We have the governors, they're all comparing notes and they're trying to figure out and prepare for what's next. And we tend to do that a little bit. We look around. But I think this morning we have a more clear word when we think of preparing for what's next. I realize that maybe this is a simple point, but yet I think it can be so hard for us because we don't prepare because we think we are prepared. That's the way it was with our nation. You know, they thought they were prepared for just about anything. And yet, what happened? We think what we do today will work for tomorrow. And we also think that we have the solution for tomorrow. Well, it didn't work that way for the rich man. You know, he thought he was prepared. And the point here is that we need to prepare for what's next. Whether it's just tomorrow, whether it's something small, or whether it's something big, maybe it's something huge that we are facing. Maybe you don't really see anything huge on your horizon, but yet we still need to give careful thought to what's next and preparing for what's next. So I would like to give you three things that are necessary for preparing for what's next. And then when we look at this passage, Jesus gave the parable, and then he went into some further teaching. And it's interesting to note that Jesus taught as the rabbis. Typically what they would do is they would start with the lesser, and they would build to the greater. So we find that Jesus is working into this with some lesser things, and then when he gets to the end of the passage, he builds into the greater. And this morning we're going to start at the end of the passage. And I came up with three words to sum this up, and I have written them on the whiteboard here, and I'm going to pull that out, and hopefully you can see that where you are. We have three words, and they are consecration, consequences, and consolation. Now, when we think of what's next, we tend to come up with questions. What's next is a question in itself, but we tend to focus our questions around where, what, who. There might be other questions, but we're going to focus on these three this morning. And when you think of consecration, consequences, and consolation, those tend to be big words that we might have a hard time wrapping our minds around in just the few minutes here that we have. But I would like to answer the question of where, when we think of preparing for what's next. And the question is more, where is your heart? To be prepared, a consecrated person will make sure his heart is in the right place. And as I said, we're going to start with the last verses. Verse 33 and 34 says, "Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth." And then we have this important verse in verse 34 that says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Consecration is being set apart and dedicated for a purpose. A Christian is set apart for God and dedicated for God's kingdom. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." A consecrated person knows where he is going. A consecrated person knows where his heart is. And a consecrated person will end up where his heart is. The truth is, everybody will end up where their heart is. Important question is, where is your heart? If we prepare for what's next, we need to know where our heart is. The rich man ended up where his heart was. The rich man thought he was prepared for what's next, and he would have been if he had put his treasure in the right place. You know, the rich man, he was consecrated to himself, if we can say it that way. He was dedicated to his own selfish motives. He was laying up his treasures in his own kingdom. His treasures belonged to himself. He saw them as his own. His heart was himself. It didn't work out for him. How do you think it will work out for us? The only way to be prepared for what's next is to be consecrated to God. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." A consecrated person totally belongs to God. What does this mean to totally belong? And that's a big subject that we really don't have time to break down very far, but think about that. How does a consecrated person totally belong to God? I think part of that answer is found in 2 Timothy 2:21. It's another verse on consecration. "If a man therefore purge himself from these. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. A consecrated person is purged. The Amplified says, so whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences. Sorry, this is what it means to be purged. Who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences. And you know what? It's interesting. There is so much focus right now on cleaning. Separating ourselves from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences. Wear gloves, put on your mask, wash your hands, and it's all good. And it's all necessary. But if only there was that much emphasis and effort put forth for spiritual cleansing as what there is for this virus, the coronavirus. Let's remember that consecration is part in purging ourselves and being a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for our master's use. If our heart is where it should be, it will prepare us for what's next. A consecrated person is a vessel unto honor. A consecrated person is meet for the master's use. A consecrated person is prepared unto every good work. That's all found in that verse there in 2 Timothy 2:21. A consecrated person will consider, is this my heart or is this God's heart? And that breaks it down a little bit further. When we're consecrated, we said that consecration is being set apart for God and dedicated for God's kingdom. So a consecrated person will consider this. Is this my heart or is this God's heart? The rich man, he came up with an answer for that, and he didn't think about it enough. He was thinking of his heart and what he wanted in this situation. How do we answer that question? Is this my heart or God's heart? When we think of what's next and preparing for what's next, think about where our heart is. A consecrated person will make sure his heart is in the right place. And that's what this verse here in verse 34 highlights. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So when we're faced with what's next and we're preparing for what's next and we ask the question of where is this going to take us? Let's think about consecration. Where is our heart? Where is our heart in this? Let's look at the second one. And the second one is consequences. And often when we think of what's next, we think about what? What happens? What happens if we do or do not prepare for what's next? And we need to carefully consider the consequences of our actions. Preparing has consequences. The truth is, not preparing has consequences also. And this would define more what the consequences are. Consequences are the price we pay or the benefit we receive from our decisions. Consequences are the price we pay or the benefit we receive from our decisions. The question I would have for us this morning is, do we think enough about the consequences for what we do or what we don't do? Do we spend enough time thinking about consequences? Verse 31 says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And this is a contrast to what the rich man did. And Jesus is giving us some words here of good actions and good consequences. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We know that there are good actions, there are wrong actions. good consequences and wrong, and bad consequences. Mr. Rich Man here, this rich man, he thought the plenty that he experienced was because of the consequences of his hard work. And that is right. He had plenty, and he thought it was because of what he had done, which in essence was wrong. This rich man, he spent time thinking, but he didn't spend time thinking about the consequences, and he didn't spend time thinking about what will happen next. He spent time thinking of himself. He thought he knew the consequences of his actions, and he thought the consequences should be bigger barns and an easy lifestyle. Verse 20 and 21. Give the consequences, and these are the consequences of moving ahead without God in the picture. Verse 20 says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast prepared? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. May I say that this is what happens if we live our life without thinking of the consequences and considering the consequences of what we do. That is what the rich man did. Let's think about some important considerations about consequences. And these are not anything new, but just so we think about these in our minds as we think about the thing of what's next, and as we prepare for what's next, you can choose the action, but you can't choose the consequence. And if you want to change the consequence, you need to change the action. The other reality is that consequences live longer than actions. We can change our actions, but the consequences of past actions live on. And we find that highlighted in Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, right now, we have a nation that's very much concerned with the consequences of actions. They're very much concerned with what you do because of the consequences. And they're highlighting actions. Be careful what you do, because they're going to have consequences. Consequences are very important to consider because they live longer than actions. We can change our actions, but the consequences live on, and even the consequences of past actions live on. God will forgive us for wrong choices and mistakes we make, but that does not always remove or change the consequences. And that's what makes us so very serious, is we're thankful and we praise God for forgiveness, but yet that does not always remove or change the consequences for our actions. So we're faced with the question, is it more important to consider the action or the consequences? And I wonder if we don't need to think more about the consequences of our actions, and that'll help us in our actions when we think of the question of what. You know, what do I do in this situation? What's the right thing to do? Think about it. How will it affect me? What I do today, how will that affect me tomorrow? And think beyond the moment. What will be the reaping? This rich man, he thought only of today, and he thought by making this decision today, it would help him tomorrow. But he didn't look long-term enough. And we know what the consequences were of his actions. When we prepare for what happens next, think about the consequences of what we do, especially as we think of the question of what. What will happen? Let's look at the third one, and that is consolation. And I want that to answer the question, who? Who will be with us? And maybe This doesn't seem like a good place to use the word consolation. But the more I consider this word consolation, I feel it answers a question of who. Who will be with us as we prepare for what's next, as we face what's next? And again, I don't know what you're facing in your life. In a general way, we know what we're facing as a community and as a church, but this becomes a whole lot more personal than that. You know, each one of us is facing a personal journey, and each one of us faces the question, either in a big way or a small way, of what's next. The word consolation means to strengthen, to encourage, to give assurance, and to give support. Don't we need that as we think of what's next and preparing for what's next? The rich man, what did he have for consolation? He only had himself. How could he strengthen himself? How could he encourage himself? He tried to console himself, and we have that in verse 19. This was his effort at consolation. He says, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And again, we could look at our nation, at the world. Things were going very well, and we're thankful for that. But yet, is it enough? And is there consolation in that fact? I like the promise in 2 Thessalonians 2:16. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Isn't that a wonderful promise? Jesus Christ himself and God, our Father, he loved us and he hath given us everlasting consolation. What a wonderful thing as we think about preparing for what's next. That's a wonderful promise for each of us to claim personally as we face each new situation in our life. Lord Jesus has given us everlasting consolation. Interestingly enough, there's also a verse in the Bible about consolation for this rich man. He had a verse also in the Bible for him. And that is in Luke 6:24. It says, "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation." Mr. Rich Man had his consolation. He had his riches. How much support, how much encouragement, how much strength, how much assurance did his riches give him? Do we not rather need the consolation that comes from Jesus? Jesus' words that follow this parable are full of consolation as we prepare for what's next. And I would like to reread just a few of these verses, and I want you to think about this as I read them. I'm not going to take the time to break them all down, but think about the strength. Think about encouragement. Think about assurance, and think about support. And these are Jesus' words for you today, tomorrow, and for whatever what's next. He says, "Take no thought for your life." And that is, do not worry about your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Don't worry about these things. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than fowls? Which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus is impressing upon us how much God cares for us. Isn't it amazing to see what God has done in nature? But yet it's more amazing to see what God will do for each of us as we face our lives. And especially like the words in verse 32. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And there's a lot tied up in this word kingdom, but I would like to just leave it like this. Say it like this, that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you good things. God wants to do good things for you. Again, we are in uncharted territory, and we wonder when life will return to normal, and we wonder what the new normal will be. We don't know. Each one of us faces the question of what's next, and it's hard to know how to answer that. But I would like for us to remember that with God, with this God that we have been talking about, we are prepared for what's next. And it is my prayer this morning, as you go through the rest of today and tomorrow, that we would feel God's presence near as we go through another week.